W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The Trump administration has made it clear it wants to crack down on visas for foreign students. State Department spokesperson Tammy Bruce.
The visa process is a key component of keeping the country safe. It is not targeted at certain only specific individuals. This is an overarching national security action.
The U.S. will revise the visa criteria for all future applicants from the People's Republic of China and Hong Kong. On the day of Harvard's commencement, a federal judge temporarily extends an order blocking the Trump administration from banning the university from enrolling international students. CBS's Nikki Batiste.
President Trump has argued that no more than about 15% of Harvard's admission spots should go to international students. But there are statistics that show international students, international graduates contribute to the economy. And most foreign students at universities across the country do pay full tuition. So if Harvard were to ultimately lose any of these foreign students, they would have to find ways to make up for that revenue.
President Trump's tariffs invoked under an Emergency Economic Powers Act are reinstated, at least for now. A federal appeals court has temporarily paused an order from a trade court that struck down most of the tariffs. Legal analyst Lori Levinson.
While the court decides this, the tariffs will stay in place. So we have a bit of a pendulum swinging. Yesterday, the thought was no more tariffs. Today, there will be tariffs at least until the second week in June when the court has had briefing.
With 2 of 10 jail escapees from New Orleans still on the run, authorities are increasing the reward for their capture.
It's $50,000 per remaining fugitive.
Louisiana State Police Superintendent Robert Hodges says authorities are getting tips that are helping them close in on Antoine Massey and Derek Groves. Crime Stoppers of Greater New Orleans CEO Darlene Cusanza says the reward money is motivating people to call in those tips.
We know that tips from the public plays an incredible role. And we also appreciate that we have the trust coming to Crime Stoppers for those tips. But our work is not done.
Ian Ozan for CBS News, New Orleans.
A suspected tornado in southern Henry County, Georgia, has left a trail of damage across that county. Authorities there say that at least 2 confirmed injuries have been reported. The Federal Emergency Management Agency has arrived in Jefferson County, Kentucky, which was impacted by tornadoes and floods that began on April 2nd. Louisville Mayor Craig Greenberg.
FEMA's Disaster Survivor Assistance Team is going door to door to inform individuals of their eligibility in the FEMA Individual Assistance Process.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers head to Philly. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a 3-game weekend series against the Phillies tomorrow night. The crew beat the Red Sox 6-5 in 10 innings yesterday. It was Milwaukee's first 3-game sweep of the year. Manager Pat Murphy.
It's a great feeling to feel like you sense that they believe, and that's a great feeling. Our pitching hung in there and did enough.
NFL at the Packers OTA practices. Defensive back Jaire Alexander remains absent. All the team tries to renegotiate his contract. Safety Xavier McKinney asked if he'd like to see Jaire back with the Pack.
We would all like him back. I talk to him every day. Just try to stay connected with him. Obviously, we've developed a great relationship with each other. At the end of the day, like, I'm going to be behind him regardless of, you know, what the situation is going on. We've developed a relationship good enough off the field to where it's like, bro, I just want what's best for you.
That's Xavier McKinney with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies in the overnight, light winds and morning lows in the low to mid 50s. Friday, though, we'll see partly sunny skies, areas of wildfire smoke in the sky, and we'll also have a few showers and storms in the afternoon, breezy with highs in the mid and upper 70s. It's 60 at our studios.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll see what's happening in the state capitol, the Joint Finance Committee, in terms of our tax dollars, and what's worse, handshake or fist bump. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Metnair on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome to Metnair on Air. Jane Metnair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff. Coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Lots of things coming up for you today. Jim Santel, our friend and colleague and host of Amicus, a law review across the network on Saturday mornings from 9 to 11, joining us in about a half an hour after the 9:30 news. I'm going to be talking about some recent judgments, not in the Trump administration's favor, and also something that is hidden in that big budget bill. And even one Republican representative from Florida admitted this week he did not know this was in there. Because he hadn't read it.
Exactly. There it is.
Yeah. Didn't read the bill that everybody, they all love.
It's a big, beautiful bill.
They love this bill.
Oh, it's big.
Except when they actually like read it and all the details come out. So, yes, there's this little hidden provision in the budget bill that would essentially shield the Trump administration from any wrongdoing.
It's like when you ever meet someone, you're like, oh, you are attractive. You are a looker. And then they start talking. You're like, oh, this is terrible.
Yeah.
That's what this bill is. It looks really pretty, but then words happen and you're like, oh, I got to burn this.
Yeah. Once you start looking at it a little bit more closely, it's always a good idea. I don't know. Reading things before you support them just seems like something one would want to do. Next hour, we're going to do a little weather and wine with Brittany Merlot. Find out what's coming up. I guess we have hot weather. Summer in the city, baby. It's coming. Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe will be here after 10:30, and we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the header for Cheddar edition, and there's a video element you are absolutely going to want to watch. It's pretty. You'll go,
why do people do this?
Exactly. That's coming up around 10:51. So stick around for that. A couple of things I wanted to start off with, though, just to mention very briefly before we talk about Wisconsin senior Senator Ron Johnson. The U.S. Court of International Trade ruled that Donald Trump's tariffs are unlawful. Judges appointed by Trump, Obama, and Reagan all ruled that the Constitution gives Congress the power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imports, and excises, not the administration.
Well, the thing that always is, it's been confusing to me is like, and has had to been broken down and explained, is that like this, it's like the executive orders. He can sign as many executive orders as he wants, and some of them can stick, but some of them have no power whatsoever. Like him saying, no paper straws. Like, what do you mean in the White House? Okay, I guess boss man doesn't want paper straws. But like, while this is a good thing, I think it's great. That just means Congress is going to be like, oh, we have to, oh, fine, tell us what to do and we'll do it.
Let's find another way around this.
We'll throw it in the big, beautiful bill. What do you want, 150 million percent for Japan? Why not?
The market's kind of having mixed reactions to this. The Dow right now is down a little bit, but the S&P and the NASDAQ are both up. But again, this court ruling that Donald Trump does not get to set tariffs. It's the job of Congress. So we'll see what happens with this. As we mentioned, yes, Wisconsin senior Senator Ron Johnson was in Wisconsin yesterday. It's always nice when he takes time to actually stop here.
Well, Florida's always beautiful.
It is.
And so is house.
So is Fox News. You know, that's his favorite place to be. He says Milwaukee should be able to clean up its lead problems at Milwaukee Public Schools with no help from the federal government. Quote, this is not a new problem. They've known about it. I don't have a great deal of faith in the federal government. So this is something I think that Milwaukee, that Wisconsin ought to be able to handle by itself, unquote. This was when Senator Johnson stopped by the Milwaukee Press Club event yesterday that was held at the newsroom in downtown Milwaukee.
Oh, okay. Fine. You think we know you hate Milwaukee. It's full of all those.
It doesn't seem to be real fond of Wisconsin either.
It's well, that's my point is that, OK, allow that to happen in Milwaukee. Great. We know that you hate Milwaukee and Madison because it's full of a bunch of not you people. But it is a problem all over the state.
Yes.
So does the rest of the state have to suffer because you are inherently prejudiced towards big cities who hate you?
Well, it's Wisconsin ought to be able to handle it by
itself. Oh, Wisconsin.
Milwaukee and Wisconsin ought to be able to handle it by themselves.
You heard of most rural areas. You know you're flush with cash in your unincorporated, your village, your town and city halls.
You can't get enough people to fill your EMTs.
Nope.
We don't have enough childcare. There's the list of
shutting down hospitals,
but all of us should be able to step up and fix these lead problems all across the state, according to Ron Johnson.
I have very little faith in the federal government, the place that gives you your paycheck every single day.
And his lifetime health coverage.
And your lifetime health coverage that has enriched you twofold, if not more.
He's done quite well.
He is an embarrassment of a human. And every time you say senior senator, I get a pang in my chest because it's like, that's the guy who has the seniority in the state. Not Tammy Baldwin, who's brought in literally billions of dollars, and that's not just me speaking out of turn. That's not pulling a number out of my tuchus. It is fact, tracked, and true. Billions of dollars for the state for all people, regardless of who voted for
all of us in Wisconsin.
But this guy who thinks 9/11 should be reinvestigated gets to have a say in anything.
Milwaukee officials, of course, had asked the CDC for help in cleaning up these lead issues. We have a whole bunch of schools that had to shut down because of lead problems. Their request was denied due to mass layoffs of federal health workers. An email from the CDC at the time cited the complete loss of the CDC's lead poisoning prevention branch. Ron Johnson, though, questioned why we need the CDC at all. Is there really some secret expertise the federal government has inside CDC? I doubt it. I just doubt it. I mean, we've known about this. Clean it up. There you go. Boom. Done. Oh, there's more.
Okay.
There's more.
So angry.
Senator Johnson told reporters he believes many childhood illnesses, including measles, have been eradicated through better hygiene and sanitation, not just vaccines. Measles. Through better hygiene and sanitation.
I forget, Jane.
Not just vaccines.
I'm drawing a blank. Where did he go to medical school?
He did not go to medical school.
Oh, he's not a doctor?
He is not a doctor, but he feels apparently pretty confident in making these pronouncements.
So just folks, if you don't want the measles, scrub those hands just a little bit longer. You'll be fine, according to not a doctor, Ron Johnson.
Quote, I'm not denying vaccines didn't help eradicate some of these things, but we really improved public health and improved sanitation, unquote. Johnson says more effort should be placed on treatment, not vaccines. So does that mean get the disease and then we'll treat it? I thought prevention was always better.
It is always better. It costs you less as a person. You hopefully will not get the virus or the illness. And also it means that one less person has to go to the hospital. And if that person can't pay for that hospital bill, it's less cost that's pushed onto other people. The prevention prevents so many things besides just the illness. It prevents maybe a mountain of debt that maybe rising costs in healthcare. I mean, this is borderline irresponsible. This is like, to me, like, this is the kind of thing that someone says this in public can be held accountable because individuals say, well, I took two baths today, so why do I have the measles now? Ron Johnson said, and he's a senator.
All I can think of, aren't we glad he wasn't around during the Black Death or the Black Plague?
Oh,
smallpox outbreaks.
He'd most likely say in that situation, well, it gets rid of those who just aren't clean enough.
John from Oshkosh texting in, listening into WISS. The dude also thinks mouthwash cures COVID. So, yeah, we can take that away. He also appeared at the Medical College of Wisconsin.
Yes.
And we have a little insider from someone who was there.
Yes. At the event itself.
At the Medical College of Wisconsin. Ron Johnson essentially telling leaders in various medical fields they are wrong and that he knows more. And that, quote, personally for me and a lot of people I know, we no longer trust doctors, unquote. Apparently, he got a little pushback from that from the medical during his appearance at the medical college. He is the one who has been casting aspersions on the medical community.
Yes.
So, gee, I wonder why people don't trust doctors. Don't tell me. Wait, it'll come to me. Oh, because you've been telling him not to trust doctors.
And people like Joe Rogan and other podcasters and other politicians and other influencers and other bad doctors, looking at you, Dr. Oz, who've been saying things like this and influencing people because from the do your own research crowd,
yeah,
their research consists of listening to one guy who has no training saying, well, just wash your hands more, you're fine. And as I always say, as I've said so many times lately, if you disagree with us, if you think Ron Johnson is correct, fine. Send us the proof you have. Send us the studies. Send us the experts who are speaking on this, who've influenced Ron Johnson and his ilk to say these things. Then we'll talk. But until then, don't just call us the arbiters of liberal trash.
Oh, please. He cites anecdotal evidence.
A story.
That ivermectin is an effective cure for COVID, despite pushback from experts. When COVID broke out, and I was working in a news department at a different radio station, and I've talked about this before, I did numerous interviews with veterinarians, poison control experts, other experts. Don't take ivermectin. It's a horse dewormer.
When that was becoming all the rage, and people were spreading their dis and misinformation about that non-COVID vaccination, there was a thing, and I'm not kidding you, and this sounds funny, but it's actually deadly serious. There was a thing at Farm and Fleet. They sell ivermectin.
Right. That's right.
And in order to get it, you had to provide a picture of you and your horse. They would not sell it to you otherwise. What does that say about this miracle, not a drug? Again, you disagree with us. Provide the proof to make it make sense, and we'll talk.
Well, we're going to talk. Since apparently Senator Ron Johnson has so much faith in Bob Kennedy Jr., when we return, and Bill from Econimowoc, I see you there. We will take you first thing when we come back. There's a new study out promoted by Robert Kennedy Jr., our head of the Department of Health and Human Services. Couple little things in this report that are a little eyebrow raising. So we'll talk about that when we return. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Medicare loses about $60 billion annually to fraud, errors, and abuse. June 2nd through the 8th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Learn more by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
Timeout.
Oh, right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on today, Maggie Dawn's show from 4 to 6 across the network. Going to break down what the no tax on tips really means for Wisconsin workers and for, like, restaurant owners. Mm-hmm. Maggie will be talking to Milwaukee chef Greg Leon to talk about no taxes on tips. That's coming up later on today with Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6 p.m. Bill from Oconomowoc has been waiting on the line. Bill, we were talking about Wisconsin Senior Senator Ron Johnson stopping in Wisconsin, not for a fundraiser yesterday.
Well, you know, hats off to Ron Johnson. When he and his cronies managed COVID, we were picking up cadavers or bodies, corpses, in refrigerated semi-trucks.
Yep.
When it was all over, we were 14th, I believe. You could have to check it out. I want this reference. In the world for handling COVID. Mayo Clinic, the finest in the world, recommended COVID shots, but Jesse Waters, Ron Johnson, and all those other clods thought, well, we ought to treat you like a horse. They have no honesty. They have no integrity. They coddle a felon, and they say they are for law and order. Enough is enough. I think Americans should refuse to pay taxes till the felon leaves office. Well, we could put a hold on him like you can't believe.
cheating on your taxes, though, Bill, that really only works if you are a MAGA supporter.
Yeah, you get pardoned immediately.
You get pardoned immediately. So, you know, if you want to commit tax crimes, it's cool. Just make a donation to the Trump administration, the Trump PAC or whatever, and you'll be good to go. Thank you, Bill. Really appreciate you checking in. Yeah, Ron Johnson and his medical expertise and then saying at the Medical College of Wisconsin yesterday, nobody trusts doctors, and telling the audience, and it's your fault.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is amazing.
It's
why he does want us, though, to trust Robert Kennedy Jr.
Why not? He's also not a doctor.
The head of Health and Human Services. And this is widely being shared this morning. The MAHA.
Gross.
Make America Healthy Again report cites studies that don't exist. The Trump administration's Make America Healthy Again report misinterprets some studies and cite others that do not exist. Epidemiologist Catherine Keyes is listed in the report as the author of a study on anxiety in children when Notice, which reports on this, reached out to her. She said she was surprised to hear of the citation. She does study mental health and substance abuse. She did not write the paper listed in this report that lists her as the author. Quote, the paper cited is not a real paper that I or my colleagues were involved with. We've certainly done research on this topic, but did not publish a paper in the JAMA Pediatrics on this topic with that co-author group or with that title, unquote. It's unclear if anybody actually did write that study that is in the latest MAHA report. Maybe they just turned it over to AI.
Well, I mean, it was like his testimony in front of the Senate. He thought that the lead program was still in place, but he didn't know because
he wasn't sure.
So my guess is that he wasn't involved in this report a whole lot.
But I just feel, again, they're making the assumption that no one is going to read this report. What do you think? They're all Republicans who don't read the budget bill? Come on.
Hey-o.
There might be a couple people who are going to read the report. And then look to see if the studies that they cited are actually real.
Yeah.
It's details, people. It's little tiny details.
Tiny, like, oh.
Little things.
Why are people researching things? Like, they only said, oh, do your own research. And then they do the research and then they get mad about it.
Yeah.
7 out of 10, you said. Reports.
7 out of 10.
Yeah.
Don't exist. Wisconsin, Milwaukee and Wisconsin. We need to step up and just take care of these lead problems in our states and our cities ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that also, according to our senior senator, is our fault because we knew this was a problem and we let it go this long.
But don't worry, folks. Things like, you know, the measles and all the other things. Just take a little extra time in that shower.
Get some light. Get some sunshine.
Hey, man, like, I don't know, like the president a few years ago talked about bleach. I'm not a doctor, but who knows? It could help. It doesn't. Trust me. Please don't do it.
And there are also concerns now because they are changing the recommendations for who should get the COVID vaccine. And they are eliminating pregnant women and mm-hmm. young children from this.
Yeah.
Eventually, that's raising big concerns, too.
Eventually, it's just going to come out as you can take the COVID vaccination, but we're not going to recommend it or say you shouldn't. It's just on you, of all people of all ages.
I just know that I am fully confident in the people who told me that if I got the COVID vaccine, I would become magnetic, because that's what some of them claimed. It was all over TikTok.
I've been throwing paperclips at you for years.
I know, and I'm still waiting, but don't worry. I still trust their medical knowledge completely. Nancy from Wausau, real quickly, we're up against the break. Nancy, thanks for joining us. What did you want to say?
Oh, I just wanted to take it a step back to where you were talking about the lead pipes. You know, there was a bill that was voted on yesterday, sadly, I didn't hear what the outcome was, but where they want to take the funding, public money, and use it to pay private entities to take care of this lead abatement. And I'm thinking of like cities like Superior, where everything they have is privatized, and look what their water bills are.
Yep.
I mean, is that what the rest of us want?
They kind of want to privatize everything, Nancy. They really, there's money to be made. Come on, there's money to be made. Who needs things done for the public good? Come on. We have news coming up next. Thank you, Nancy. When we return, Jim Santel will be here, host of Amicus, a law review, so stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Throw another paperclip at me. Maybe this time it'll stick. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Breaking news. The NYPD says it's mourning the passing of former police commissioner Bernard Carrick, who FBI Director Kash Patel says on social media died after a private battle with illness. Carrick, who was 69, served as New York City's police commissioner on 9/11 and later pleaded guilty to tax fraud before being pardoned. The State Department says it will aggressively revoke visas for Chinese students, including those with ties to the Chinese Communist Party or studying critical fields. Spokesperson Tammy Bruce.
People can still make their application, do their regular steps, but it's a two-step process, right? You apply, and then you have to get an appointment to meet with people, to talk with them.
After a trade court pauses President Trump's tariffs, an appeals court temporarily reinstates them. CBS's Jolene Kent.
The last 24 hours have been a real roller coaster for American businesses, big and small. They're ensnared in this new legal drama when all they really want from President Trump is some certainty.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
The Brewers head to Philly. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a three-game weekend series against the Phillies tomorrow night. The crew beat the Red Sox 6-5 in 10 innings yesterday. It was Milwaukee's first three-game sweep of the year. Manager Pat Murphy.
It's a great feeling to feel like you sense that they believe, and that's a great feeling. Our pitching hung in there and did enough.
NFL at the Packers OTA practices. Defensive back Jaire Alexander remains absent while the team tries to renegotiate his contract. Safety Xavier McKinney asked if he'd like to see Jaire back with the Pack.
We would all like him back. I talk to him every day. Just try to stay connected with him. Obviously, we've developed a great relationship with each other. At the end of the day, like, I'm going to be behind him regardless of, you know, what the situation's going on. We've developed a relationship good enough off the field to where it's like, I just want what's best for you.
That's Xavier McKinney with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Some people seem to forget that the Me Too movement was supposed to change things for the better. According to a new lawsuit being filed, Kevin Costner is not one of them. A 34-year-old female stunt performer on Costner's bomb, Horizon, an American Saga Chapter 2, alleges she was a victim of sexual discrimination, harassment, and the creation of a hostile work environment, according to the New York Post. Costner and his legal team are denying all allegations and probably trying to forget that the movie even exists. Costner and his legal team are denying all allegations and probably trying to forget that this clunker of a movie even exists. In reboots that don't need to happen, especially for shows that ran too long in the first place news, Duck Dynasty is coming back. I know what you're thinking. Oh, joy. The Robertson family are the marketing geniuses who pretended to be hillbillies to get actual hillbilly viewers. Duck Dynasty The Revival premieres June 1st on A&E and is already renewed for a season 2. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies in the overnight, light winds and morning lows in the low to mid-50s. Friday, though, we'll see partly sunny skies, areas of wildfire smoke in the sky, and we'll also have a few showers and storms in the afternoon. Breezy with highs in the mid and upper 70s. It's 60 at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to health care, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hans Breitenmoser. We have people in Congress right now cutting food assistance.
All of it is a disregard for how the economy actually works. When you plant seeds in the ground, you get money close to the ground. That's what makes rural economies work. Urban economies are very similar in that regard. Washington is only as good as its participants, and we've got some real dandies there these days.
That's definitely one way to put it.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, Dr. Kristen Lierley joins us, plus our regular Week in Review guests, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, and journalists Jennifer Schulze and Mark Jacob.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, little Dave Brubeck bumping music there. That means it is time for Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review Saturdays across the network from 9 until 11. Good morning, Jim. Thanks for joining us.
Jane, Greg, always a pleasure. A few things to talk about, including, oh, for example, the fact that apparently we're being urged by our leaders, as you were just talking, not to trust the people who know stuff.
Exactly. Right? Why would we trust experts, Jim? I know when I'm going for like dental surgery, I always go to the guy who plasters my walls. That's mm-hmm. just, you know, that's what you do.
And if you need that light infusion therapy, perhaps, or as you're just indicating, some medicine that we give to horses, give that a shot. Give that a shot. I always think
a lawyer told me to do that.
Right? There you go.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
I always think to this day about those horrific images. Remember Dr. Deborah Birx sitting there on the side of the press conferences, which yep. were entertaining every single day, but entertaining for all the wrong reasons, horrified, looking on, horrified as the president advocated for these various things. Just unbelievable that it continues now, all these years later. And as you said, our Health and Human Services Secretary, not a doctor. The only significant thing he said recently is, maybe you shouldn't take advice from me. Yes, yes, yes. RFK, we'll follow that.
Exactly.
Everything else, not so much, not so much.
Yeah,
stunning.
It really is kind of remarkable. And going back to Wisconsin Senior Senator Ron Johnson at the Medical College of Wisconsin yesterday, telling a group of health professionals, you are the reason that people don't trust doctors. It would be laughable if it were not so serious.
Right. Did you see the sign out front? They're at the research area there with Fredert and everything. It says, Medical College of Wisconsin, we train doctors here. A little bit more close to home. I know I sent you a note about this. My sister, Susan, who graduated from the Medical College of Wisconsin many years ago, a practicing anesthesiologist. I can't keep her off my text line on a regular basis. She is consistently every day. Guess what they're saying now? And this is just the latest. She is especially, again, focused upon these statements by not only Ron Johnson appearing at her alma mater, but also, again, our Health and Human Services Secretary, again, withdrawing from the CDC authorization, as you indicated right before the break, the notion that pregnant women and young children should get the COVID vaccine. Susan, again, like other reasonable, rational medical people out there saying, no, 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 this is a proven, established way of keeping us all safe and secure. Reckless beyond belief, that doesn't begin to address it. Susan believes, again, as do many others, that this is going to kill many people in our nation. It is so wildly irresponsible.
Well, and that's the question I posed in our chat beforehand. And I know this is a much deeper question with lots of nuance, and I'm sure many appeals of it ever happened. But at what point does the First Amendment not cover yes. such speech that causes actual harm that is evidentiary in there to say, like, here, like, these individuals said this, these people did that, and now they are permanently injured, they are sick, or they have died because of it. Are there repercussions on a legal sense for these types of things, or is it simply just a very deep First Amendment argument where, like, no one's really even going to take it on to say, like, well, I can't tell you what to say because that's the Constitution? I mean, I don't know.
As we've always said, there is no right, no right in America, even the First Amendment, that is, it is unconditional, right? We saw that on January 6th. A president cannot, should have been held responsible for his speech that day that undeniably incited a riot. People killed that day, injured that day. Mm-hmm. This is admittedly pushing the envelope a bit, but I don't say that to indicate that there's no there there. This is the kind of thing, and cause and effect, Greg, is what you're talking about. Yeah. I say something, I encourage people to engage in behavior that is contrary to their own best medical interests and those of others. The advocacy is out there. I can show damages as a direct result of what I have said. And again, this is what lawyers and courts wrestle with all the time. What are the limits of First Amendment protections when, in fact, you are quite literally now killing people or endangering their health and security? It would not be at all surprised if at some point we see this litigation from the family of a young measles victim,
sure,
others out there who say, I relied upon my government to tell me accurately what is going on here. I suffered this the ultimate harm, and I am seeking damages based upon the First Amendment, their exercise of their, I'll say with a right with a very small r, their use of the First Amendment that caused great harm. It is a theory that is not at all frivolous.
Our guest is Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review on Saturdays across the network from 9 until 11. I highly encourage you to check out his show. You can also listen as a podcast if you're not able to listen live. You can find all our shows at civicmedia.us. Just at the very top, click on shows, and there's a whole plethora of things that you can listen to there.
Ooh, plethora.
Good word, right? Yeah. I'm going to use that more often. We wanted to switch over to something I did mention before you joined us, Jim. This latest report from Maha Make America Healthy Again, which cites several studies that don't exist. And I go back to, I just feel like there is one party that just assumes no one's going to read this whole thing. So don't worry about it. If they don't exist, we're going to put it in there. Nobody's going to catch it. Who's going to read it? That's kind of the same way I think that they're looking at this budget bill, because hidden in this budget bill that's going to make life so good for all of us, especially if you're really, really rich.
It's going to be beautiful, Jane.
Oh,
I'm told. It's beautiful.
Heard,
as
yes.
Beautiful nation
I've
is
heard
coming
it's
up.
Going
That's
to be
what I'm told.
Just fabulous. There is a little thing stuck in this budget bill that would severely restrict the federal court's authority to hold government officials in contempt if they violate judicial orders. So can you make that make sense, please?
I wish desperately that I could make it make sense, right? We'd all like to be able to do that. The answer is, once again, this is to try to push back on, I think it's about 170 so far, issuance of, by federal district court judges, orders saying, Mr. President, you can't do that, unconstitutional, can't do all kinds of things, can't shut down Department of Education, can't stop USAID, can't have access to Social Security, IRS records. It goes on. We've talked about those in the past. And the answer, especially when it comes to the deportation issue, of course, in front of at least three judges now, one in Boston, one in Maryland, one in D.C., who are saying, get these people back or afford them due process. And beyond that, I need to know what's going on. This has been going on since March 15th.
Right.
And the answer has been from your government, from my Department of Justice, our administration, no. We're not going to do that. And so these judges, appropriately, frankly, they've got incredible patience, are threatening to find somebody somewhere in contempt. They're asking, who is making these decisions? And even there, the attorneys there are saying, well, we're not sure who that is. And this is an attempt, plainly, this piece, among others, plainly an attempt to cut the wings, to clip the wings of those judges, to say there are no circumstances under which you can enforce your own requests, legitimate requests, as a part of your jurisdiction established by the Constitution to ensure that the people follow, including the government, follow what you say. It is outrageous. It is inexplicable in answer to your question. It is contrary to, I brought along, for what it's worth, for those who are watching online, this is my code of federal federal civil rules.
Oh, nice, easy read there, Jim. Yeah.
We've got a show and tell here today as well. It's just chocked through this notion that judges have got to have the authority to enforce their own orders. If this passes, again, not just for one side of the political aisle, be careful what you ask for too, right? If you are going in, if the government at some point, present government, wants to go in and ask for, Jim Santel to be quieted from appearing in various things, and again, that doesn't have, all these things can apply in all directions, right? And so that's the other concern about this. The bigger one is, once again, it's simply an attempt to stop the legitimate and reasonable actions of judges around the country who are within a hair's breadth of saying, Donald Trump, Attorney General Bondi, others, Kristi Noem, I'm going to find you in contempt. I may sanction you with fines. I might jail you because you are so contemptuous of my orders. And they've got the ability and the responsibility to do that. It is outrageous. And again, all your listeners, I know they are outraged by this. And as somebody who practiced in the federal courts, who invoked these kinds of things, not the contempt so often, but other things just to ensure that injunctive orders can be enforced, which is another aspect that they're attacking in this bill. All of that is central to our rule of law and the way that courts work every single day. Federal courts, state courts, even municipal courts, entering injunctions, telling people, frankly, what to do based upon evidence. This is the United States Congress, with the encouragement of our president, saying once again, federal judges, state judges, who are you? What are you doing?
I don't have to listen to you.
What are you talking about? Yeah. No, we're not doing that. And oh, by the way, now we've got legislation that says we don't need to follow what you are saying. It is, again, rule of law eliminated. We are so far beyond a constitutional crisis. This is just the next step down whatever happens next.
Again, just to reiterate that, if this goes through, essentially the Trump administration cannot be held accountable by our courts, correct?
That's correct. That is correct. Exactly. There's this companion piece. It also requires mandates that judges, before they even enter the orders in the first place, place a bond. There's a provision. It's Rule 65 of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure. But this notion that, number one, you're stripping the judges of the capacity to do anything in this area, to enter orders, to tell people based upon the evidence. And again, all your listeners appreciate this. These are not judges out there just reading headlines and saying, oh, that's got to stop. We've talked about this at great length. These are judges who are having preliminary hearings. Evidence is coming in. They've scheduled trials down the road to ensure that there is support for all of this. This is routine due process practice. We've talked about that at great length. And these are all attempts to say, number one, don't do any of that. And number two, if you still go down that road, who are you? Once again, as our attorney general has said, these out of control, errant judges, unelected judges. Well, Pam Bondi, all federal judges are unelected. And it's simply an attempt to ensure that the president has this authoritarian approach and that the branch of government, the judiciary, no longer is effective in any significant way. That's what they're voting on right now in the Congress.
Yep. I just want to share this too. Representative Mike Flood of Nebraska was at a town hall meeting recently, asked specifically about this provision that essentially makes the courts neutered as far as holding the Trump administration accountable for everything. Here's what he said, quote, I do not agree with the section that was added to the bill. I do believe the federal courts, when issuing an injunction, it should have legal effect, unquote. He essentially admitted he had not read the bill, didn't know it was in there. But now that he was made aware of it, now he's going to do something.
We're afraid of it. Again, admittedly, 1,000 pages, all the more reason why Mike Johnson should not have shoved this through so quickly, so people like that representative can go home and spend the night. Yes, pull an all-nighter, read through all of this, Congressman, and then come back and decide whether you want to vote for it. Shove through in a way that no human being could possibly digest at all. This guy also irresponsible in terms of his representation.
I don't know. You're making $174,000 a year. I think you should be able to read the full report. We're going to continue our conversation with Jim Santel on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Come work
work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
All across Wisconsin, destination marketing organizations are working to ensure that tourism in our state and your local community is stronger than ever. Because when you travel in Wisconsin, you see what our beautiful state has to offer. And now, more than ever, you see the importance of the travel and tourism industry and the impact it has on our community's small businesses, infrastructure, and economy. Destination marketing organizations statewide are working diligently to generate the economic benefits tourism has to offer and ensure that tourism in Wisconsin recovers better than ever. Their work to drive visitation, book meetings and conventions, and enhance the visitor experience not only encourages travelers to discover Wisconsin, it bolsters the economy, supports jobs, and it improves the quality of life for all Wisconsin residents. And you can do your part just by exploring Wisconsin yourselves or supporting your local destination marketing organization directly. To learn more about what Wisconsin's destination marketing organizations are doing, visit DestinationsWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Destinations Wisconsin.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We are not perfect here at Civic Media. Far be it. Certainly not perfect at this show. But one thing I can assure you of, our owner that I can see right through this glass right now, Sage Weil, has never once told me what to say and encourages us to speak the truth. And that's why, above all else, I'm proud to work for this company. And along with my colleagues, we will bring you what's really happening out there. And if we get it wrong along the way, we'll admit to that and correct ourselves as well.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Tomorrow, you have a chance to pick up a 4-pack of Milwaukee Brewers tickets. It's Free Ticket Friday. Starting with Pat Kreitlow from 6 to 9, He will have a keyword for you that you can text in via the Civic Media app, and then we will have one for you from 9 to 11, Tom Hartman 11 to 2, Todd Allbaugh 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6, all kinds of chances for you to enter to pick up a 4-pack of tickets to see our Milwaukee Brewers club-level seats.
Very, very comfy. Make sure you get that Civic Media app to participate, and don't be surprised tomorrow morning when you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow and you're like, why does this sound like Todd Alba? Because Todd will be
sitting.
Because
it will be Todd.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Jim Santel is here. He is host of Amicus, a law review on Saturdays across Civic Media from 9 until 11. I highly encourage you to check that out. You will learn a great deal. We don't have a whole lot of time left, Jim, but I did want to talk about Donald Trump had an executive order targeting a specific law firm, WilmerHale.
Yes.
Essentially, he didn't like them because they represented people he did not like. Right? I mean, that's what it comes down to.
It is. All of these things, WilmerHale, Perkins Coie, even those folks who are abiding by what the president wants to do, all of them, Jenner and Block, the others, Paul Weiss, all of them because of two things. One is they've represented clients who the president thinks are his adversaries, his foes out there, so got to stop them from doing that. Or secondarily, also advocating in litigation for positions that he's not supporting, whether it could be with respect to these executive orders, other things. And what has happened, Jane, as you just noted accurately, this is WilmerHale. This is one of the law firms that, to their great credit, like Perkins Coie,
yes,
like others out there, like Jenner, have said, no, Mr. President, we're not going to put up with this. You have no capacity to do this. We've got a federal judge who has agreed with that and said, knock it off, Mr. President. Not in those words, but has used, as you have noted and others have noted, these exclamation points, right, in his order.
Yeah, this was a big thing. All of a sudden, I've seen talking heads like, oh, my God, this judge used so many exclamation points. That's unusual.
It is. And usually you get very strong statements, as we've seen from other courts. The exclamation marks are usually reserved to quotes from people. But here you've got a judge who wants to put an exclamation point on his letter, basically, to the president to say, knock it off, and saying, I shouldn't be so flip about this. You're violating the Constitution when you're doing this. It's First Amendment stuff. It's representing clients who have rights under the Sixth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, all kinds of things. And oh, by the way, you're trouncing on their ability to be commercially active and to go forward and be business people, right? Law firms, in many ways, have got to be focused on money. Why? Because that's how we can provide that representation. The judge coming back and saying, punctuating his outrage with exclamation points, you can't do this, and there's no basis for doing it. Stop it. And it is good, once again, because it joins those other judges who've also done the same thing, telling the White House, WilmerHale, literally within walking distance of the White House, right there on Pennsylvania Avenue, right down the street. A former deputy attorney general, a great fan of his, named David Ogden, is there. Many other wonderful people, including Bob Mueller, right? That's one of the reasons why this firm gets attention.
Right.
They're right there. And he says, you know what, those folks right down the street, let's stop them from doing this. Federal district court judge, once again, saying, no, you can't do it, will almost certainly be appealed, as all these are, to the circuit court in Washington, D.C. At some point, this issue may, along with all the other hundreds of issues, get before the Supreme Court. You would like to think that the lawyers there, the judges there, would also appreciate, including the Chief Justice, that you cannot be doing this. It is just another day in America, unfortunately. Don't anybody believe that there is merit to these or the other executive orders, and they're dangerous too. They're not just, this is RFK telling us how to abide by medical provisions and that sort of thing. This is dangerous because it shuts down the lawyers. Have we talked before? I love a good lawyer joke. Lawyers are right now also, however, the ones who are like judges and like you in the media, also the Fourth Estate, pushing back on this. You get rid of lawyers and then you've really got an authoritarian regime here, which is probably what's in existence right down the street from WilmerHale Law Firm.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jim, but it is fundamental to our democracy that even the worst person accused of the most heinous crimes is still allowed to have representation. They get to have someone represent them, right?
Absolutely. Once again, the Supreme Court has said many, many years ago that when you are charged in this country, again, citizen or non-citizen, that's the other underlying notion here, you're entitled constitutionally to representation, got to be felony cases, criminal cases. That's Gideon versus Wainwright. We all learned that one way back in sixth grade. And Calvin writes about it all the time. He's sending me
notes. Can't shut him up about that. I'm telling you, Jim.
Just Gideon. But the point, of course, is that was back in the 60s, I think. And now we're basically trouncing on that absolute right to representation. And again, even in the civil side of things, although there's no constitutional right, there are an awful lot of people who think there should be for meritorious claims against government, against private parties. We want people to understand a system that is not intuitive. I practice in it every day. I get that completely. Clients should not have to understand how lawyers work, how judges work. And that's why you depend upon lawyers to represent them effectively, sometimes winning, sometimes losing. Representation is the key, as you have just said, Jane.
Listen, absolutely. Listen to his show on Saturdays from 9 to 11 across the network. Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review. Thank you so much, Jim. Always appreciate your time.
It is always my great pleasure, my friends. Have a good week.
You as well. News is coming up next. And then when we return, Elon needs a hobby. We'll take your calls. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to Bull Falls Radio,
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Severe weather has moved through portions of the Tennessee Valley and the Deep South, and more is expected to impact roughly 21 million people. Meteorologist Craig Allen has details.
Severe thunderstorms, which will affect over 150,000 square miles across the Mid-Atlantic, and that's about a population of over 21 million people. Major cities that would be affected would be Charlotte and Virginia Beach, Raleigh, North Carolina, Norfolk, Greensboro, Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Maryland, and even as far west as Chicago and as far south as Jacksonville, Florida.
A shakeup of Immigration and Customs Enforcement leadership. CBS's Camila Montoya Galvez.
Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, is under tremendous political pressure from the White House and President Trump's top appointees, including Stephen Miller, the Deputy Chief of Staff, to dramatically increase the number of people who are being